Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hello, hello. How are you? So good to have you in church this morning. Why don't you, as you're taking your seat, turn to the person next to you and give them your biggest Christmas smile ever. Okay, like your Merry Christmas, bright. I mean, how exciting. I got to tell you though, it feels like when you're an adult, your excitement leading into the Christmas season kind of wanes a little bit. It's a bit sad. I mean, you would literally live your life as a kid in the countdown to Christmas. And something happens kind of when you reach past a certain age. It's kind of a bit sad. It becomes all about the kids. Like they don't have enough things that are all about them. So here we are. How many people are excited about tomorrow? Yeah, half of you. We're going to get really excited by the end of the day, I promise. I mean, what a season. It's so true, Pastor Emma. Generosity, life. It's like people just burst out and, you know, Christmas carols. And you can feel the presence of God in the air at Christmas. It's like we just create this environment. You've got Christmas carols playing, people shopping. It's just something so special. So tonight is going to be amazing. Think about a friend you can bring. I mean, and Santa's coming. Santa Claus is coming to town, right? And they're going to be giving away great presents to all the kiddos. We always have fun. South Bay knows how to party is what I've figured out. So it's going to be a great, great night. I want to say thank you to Drew and Emma, who always do such an amazing job leading down here. Pastor Drew is at home recovering from a little bit of a bout of a flu right now, but he will be back tonight, right, ready to preach and share and have fun with everybody. But I'm going to get right into our message. We're still in the Christmas at the Movies series. So I'm going to try to loosely tie some movies into this, but I kind of had a greater agenda than kind of talking about a movie this morning. What an exciting thing it is to be able to speak on the eve of Christmas. I'd love it if you would turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 1. I'm going to start reading at verse 18. And I want to share, just really go back to the basics today and look at the nativity story. And really just kind of work out why did Jesus come to earth the way he did? Like, have you ever paused to think about it for a second? So let's look at this story and just have a little bit of a refresh. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24 says this. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I just want you, let's just kind of pause and think about that for a moment. Because we read it and we go, oh, isn't that nice? But can you imagine if we translated that incident into modern day? I mean, we would be locking Mary up in the psych ward. She would be on the front page of, you know, some of the greatest tabloids that America has to offer as this crazy person, believes she's impregnated by God. And yet here it is in the book of truth, Mary was found to be pregnant with a child by the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, so it's clear at this part of the story, Joseph is not buying what she's selling, all right? So he's engaged to a girl who wasn't expecting. And then all of a sudden, he finds out she is expecting. He knows he's not the daddy. He's a just man. And her reason for her pregnancy is that God himself has impregnated her, all right? So being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example was minded to put her away secretly. I just got to take a second to say, I think Joseph might be the perfect man. Not only is he just and lawful and he does the right thing in the right way. He doesn't want to make a public example of her. Isn't that beautiful? But then God intervenes, and while he was thinking about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being awakened from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All right, now we're going to look at the actual birth. So that's the prelude to the birth. In Luke chapter number 2, verses 1 to 7, you'll hear about the actual birth of Jesus. And I believe they're going to go ahead and put it up on the screen. It says, it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census took place first while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with him. So it was that while they were there, after their very long journey, the days were completed for her to be delivered. I mean, this is where you kind of really understand that God is absolutely a man. Because there's a whole lot of vision, but not a whole lot of attention to detail. It's interesting. I mean, why on earth? Like, God knows all things. This is his plan. This is his vision. And yet he makes it so they're having to travel across the earth in order to register. And she's about to give birth. And there's no hotel reservation. There's no midwife on hand. It just is what it is. So God is definitely a man. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in rags or swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger or a feeding trough because there was no room for him in the inn. Okay. We all know crazy birthing stories. Okay. How many of you have met Annika on the stage? She has the craziest birthing story of all time. Her brother was there and can attest to it from a first eyewitness account. I have four children. When I gave birth to my first son, my husband and I were literally 2 days before had to move out of our apartment. Our landlords decided they wanted to sell the property, and our date of move out coincided with my due date of having this baby. So while I'm in hospital having a baby, and listen, I was 19. I was a baby having a baby. I was in just the worst pain of my life. And I remember lying on the bed, and it was hours and hours and hours and hours of intense pain. And I remember I looked up at the doctor and said, I've changed my mind. I don't want to have a baby anymore. I just want to go home. Like somehow this was reversible. Like somehow I could just go, you know what? I've tasted the pains of childbirth and I've decided I'm going to tap out. So if we could just kind of reverse this whole scenario, Jürgen, put me in the car. I don't think we'll have a baby right now. But it was too late. It was what it was at that point. And I think about 5 hours and a couple of epidurals later, my first son was born. But we went home to temporary accommodation. We lived with a Chinese flight attendant for 6 weeks while we had to find other accommodation. It was an interesting season. We were poor youth pastors. I was away from the nation of my birth. My family were away. They were in Australia. I was in New Zealand. It was a very interesting scenario. However, Jesus's birth takes it to a whole nother level. Now, we talk about Jesus's birth as awesome, but he was born in a cave. He was laid in a feeding trough. And I think kind of like the nativity scenes have lied to us a little bit because it looks so pretty and cozy. And they make that manger look like it's got some kind of Tempur-Pedic mattress. And Jesus wasn't at all uncomfortable on scratchy hay that animals had literally just been eating out of. No, I mean, this was crazy. And I mean, honestly, you could not paint a more miserable picture of a birth than this one. However, it is so incredible what happened on that day that the writer of the Bible completely disregards everything that is happening and says, this is incredible news. Good news to all men, great tidings of comfort and joy. There is born to you today a Savior. I mean, it's amazing. And look, it would have been a miserable story, but for the fact that day, everything changed. The title of my message this morning is Love Wins. And when you look at the story of Jesus' birth, the uniqueness of the way that Jesus came to earth, it speaks and testifies of what he was about to shift on planet Earth. He came at a very strategic time. Now remember, Israel had been hoping, praying, wishing, believing for the revealing of the Messiah for such a long time. And they had in their head all these grand ideas about how it would happen. Okay, if you were going to come to Earth as the Savior of mankind, you wouldn't be like anonymously born in a cave and laid in a manger, would you? You wouldn't even come. I mean, he came as a baby. A baby. Have any of you, like the newborn especially, I mean, to try to reconcile Savior and newborn, it's like the most stressed a woman will ever be is in that newborn stage. And yet this is how God decided to come to earth. And so the uniqueness of his birth, you would think, like, surely he would appear and stand in front of Caesar Augustus and say, ha-ha! Here I am. And he comes, you know, as like a 25-year-old in a perfect body, in a perfect season. And he would stand there and kind of like be Arnold Schwarzenegger and be like, hasta la vista, baby. There's a new king in town. But he comes as a baby. So today I want to have a look at what happened all those years ago when love won, when love came to town. You ready? You look like you might need some convincing today. That's all right, because I come with my own spiritual Red Bull, and I've got energy for us all. I'm excited to preach this. I want to just bring a couple of points of how things shifted when love won all those years ago and Jesus came to earth. The first one is that love takes care of things personally. So up until the point in this time, religion was distant. There had to be a priest. In order for you to even have some kind of a semblance of relationship with God, you couldn't talk to him yourself. You had to do everything through a middleman, everything through a priest. So at that point, religion was distant. However, Jesus came and he said, you know what? I'm going to tear away the middleman and I'm going to make it so you can have a relationship with God. Have you ever wondered why God came to earth himself on the rescue mission? I mean, Gabriel, Michael, all the buff angels we hear about, like, why couldn't he have just sent an angel? But he didn't send an angel because you know what? Love takes care of things personally. If my kids were in trouble, I wouldn't be sending someone else to, oh, could you please go take care of that for me? I'm busy. You know, I reckon that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost had a conversation in heaven. We have a massive problem on earth. There is something up with our kids. What are we going to do about it? And straight away, it was like, this is too important for us to send an angel. We're going to take care of business ourselves. Yeah. Kind of makes me think a little bit of one of my favorite movies, Taken. And I told you last time I was here, which was only 2 weeks ago, how I feel about action flicks. Okay. And so in the movie Taken, we hear about the dilemma and the daughter's about to get taken from, you know, she's trafficked. Is that what it's called? Yeah, she's about to be trafficked. Silly girl. Don't go to Europe when you're 17 on your own and accept a ride from a stranger. Write that down. Okay. So anyway, the inevitable happens. She gets taken. And I love it because Liam Neeson picks up the phone. He talks to the bad guys. He's like, I may not have a lot of money, but what I do have is a special set of skills. And I will find you and I will kill you. I love that. He didn't call it. He didn't call Interpol. He didn't call the US Embassy in whatever part of Europe she was in. No, he took care of it personally. Our God, love wins, because when he could have sent someone else, he didn't. He said, I am going to come down myself and I'm going to take care of it personally, because that's how much I love my kids. Can somebody say amen? Amen. The military has a term called boots on the ground. And I reckon, again, in that conversation in heaven, when they were thinking of how to deliver what was most precious to them, you and I, that they took the boots on the ground approach. Behind that saying is the idea that some battles cannot be won from a distance. And you and I were worth getting personally involved for. So I love the story of Zacchaeus in the book of Luke, because it was so interesting when Jesus came, his whole life he was reinforcing the idea that I am replacing religion with relationship. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were the religious people of the day, marveled when Jesus invited himself into the house of a sinner, a tax collector. A tax collector, let me just tell you, who had heard the law and heard about religion his whole life, and it did not change him. It wasn't until he had an encounter with Jesus. Jesus spotted this short man up a tree and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down, I'm going to have dinner at your house. And again, the religious people couldn't believe it, and they mocked him and they taunted him and they persecuted him for his choice. But it wasn't until Jesus intervened in Lazarus's life in a relational level that Zacchaeus's life was transformed. It's amazing. See, the world will try to sell you some kind of a whammy that religion is all about, you know, the traditions and the religions and the distant and the things that we do. It's got nothing to do with that. It's everything about the personal relationship. So Jesus came from heaven to earth to reinstate relationship. And when you look at all the human problems, they're all relationally based. We really are always wounded at the point of relationship. So doesn't it make sense that Jesus came to restore the very thing that keeps us so broken and so wounded? Love takes care of it personally. Can somebody say amen? Okay, point number two. Love says, take me instead. Right now, I want to play a clip. And it's from a movie that I really enjoyed. I saw for the first time this year. It's called The Shack. So I want you to just look at the screen just for the next 2 minutes.
You must choose one of your children to spend eternity in heaven. The other will go to hell.
I can't.
Can't do what? I'm only asking you to do something you believe God does. So, who will go to hell? You could choose Kate. She said some pretty hurtful things. She shuts you out. You're not even sure if she loves you anymore. Or, you could choose Josh. He's being disobedient, sneaking out, lying to you. You didn't know that. Mackenzie, make your choice.
I don't do this anymore. I can't do this.
Can't do what?
I can't. I won't.
You must.
This isn't a game.
You have to.
You know what? This isn't fair.
You must.
It isn't fair. I can't. Take me. I'll go instead of them. I'll take their place. You take me. I'll go in their place. You leave my kids alone and you take me.
Mackenzie, you've judged your children worthy of love. Even if it costs you everything. Now you know Papa's heart.
Love says, take me instead. God said, take me. I'll go instead of them. I'll take their place. Leave my kids alone. Take me. The Christmas story, the nativity story, is that love won when Jesus, who is God, said, take me instead. Our sins had us deserving of death. And you've got to understand our God is righteous. He's a just judge. He does things the right way. Someone needed to pay the penalty. Someone needed to pay the price for the debt that was owing. And instead of letting that judgment fall upon his children, he said, take me instead. Love says, take me instead. There's a story in the Bible, and it's a really, really familiar story. It's a famous story. It's about the woman caught in adultery. And I've heard it preached about in a lot of ways, and many of them paint this woman who was caught in adultery as some kind of victim, and maybe she was. But nowhere in that story does it say this woman was repentant or sorry for what she did. However, in the midst of an environment where there wasn't any noted repentance by the woman, we don't hear her cries of complaint. We don't really know the psychology of this woman, where she stood on things. All we see is the character of Jesus. Think about it for a second. He's putting himself in probably one of the most heated, violent, abusive, judgmental situations he could possibly put himself in the midst of this woman's sinfulness. And understand, she was a lawbreaker. She was absolutely a lawbreaker. She was pulled from a bed of somebody else's husband. Oh, my gosh. Oh, no, you didn't. Can you imagine? And yet many times we preach this from the perspective of sympathy for the woman, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't have it, but we really know nothing about her character, but everything about the character of Jesus. That he stood in a place that would have been full of hateful vitriol, violence, abuse, persecution, and judgment, and he put himself in the gap for her, and he's continued to do it because that's what true love is. True love says, take me instead. Even in the story, that particular story, we see that there are men and women standing around with stones ready to throw them. He stood in the midst of them and he stopped them from being judged. Think about it. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, judge not lest ye be judged, for with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Not only did he stand in the gap for the women, he stood in the gap for those who were about to be judged with the same level of judgment they were about to be pouring out on that woman. I want you to understand today, such is the love of God for us that he said, take me instead. It's not that the charges against us were dismissed. I want you to understand that. He didn't just get some cosmic eraser and make it so our sins were washed away like that. He paid the price for them. Somebody had to pay, and God said, take me instead. I'll go. Leave my kids alone. Can somebody say amen? Love won because Jesus came and said, take me instead. And I'm telling you, friends, we cannot appreciate the true depths of God's love until we have seen and been confronted by the darkness of our own sin. We live in a world that would try to minimize and put everything down as preference. But the Bible says the wages of sin were death. And when God looked at the outcome for his children who had been so gripped with sin, the thought of spending an eternity without us was too much for him to bear. So he said, take me instead. I will pay the price, the penalty for their sins. And that's why Romans says, even though The wages of our sin is death. God has given us the gift of eternal life. Somebody had to pay for that gift that we freely receive, and it was our Savior. The Christmas story is one where love said, take me instead. Point number three, and I'd love it if the band would come up as I come to a close. And look, we're gonna finish somewhat early, which is exciting because you're all gonna be back tonight. Love is a gift. Remember, Jesus was born into a time and a culture where everything was about works. I mean, they had so many laws and so many regulations, and our team that just came back from Israel will tell you about the legalism and the bondage that many Jewish people who have not received the Messiah live under to this day. I mean, to the point where on Shabbat or Sabbath, you can't even press an elevator button because that's work. So you know what happens instead? Or the elevator goes to every floor. I mean, that's hell to me. They want to call Sabbath the day of rest? That's torment. That's not rest. That's no coffee shops open because someone would have to press a button. Lord have mercy. And here's the kicker, friends, about this legalistic, law-driven society. It actually relies on the presence of unbelievers in order for the righteous. That's right. I mean, it's insane. If a belief system, a religion has to rely on the presence of unbelievers to function, it's already jacked up. So Jesus came and said, you know what? Try as you might. We have an entire Old Testament that says us humans by nature are lawbreakers. January 1st, December 31st, a whole bunch of you are going to make a whole bunch of resolutions. January 1st, January 2nd, you're going to go about starting to break them because that is the human condition. And so Jesus came and he said, you know what? The works thing doesn't work. So I'm going to give a gift. I am going to give the gift of salvation because it cannot be earned. And I'm telling you, one of the greatest gifts and revelations around this Christmas season is that we are given a gift that we could not possibly earn in our own strength. The entire Old Testament is proof that we couldn't do it on our own. Man was the problem. Therefore, man could not be the solution. So God had to intervene and say, you know what? I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give you something that you cannot earn. It's impossible to earn. And do you know what that means? That there are people in this room today and you think that you have committed sins that are too grave and too big for God to forgive. I'm telling you, you are in the right place today because the Christmas story is one of good news. Even though your sins were as red as scarlet, doesn't matter what you've done. I need you to understand that today. It doesn't matter what you've become. Jesus says to you today, I'm going to give you what you could not earn by all the do-gooding in your entire life. I'm going to give you the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life, the gift of forgiveness of your sins. I have paid the price for you. Love came and love won because love is a gift. It's not something that we earn. It's something that is given to us. In Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says, for unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. Jesus says, I'm going to take responsibility. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Today, some of us don't need to receive more gifts. We just need to receive the one gift that maybe we haven't opened, the gift of a Savior. That's why we're all here today. That's why we celebrate Christmas. You know, there's a line in The Grinch which has impacted me because I think it speaks to right now. It's when The Grinch is having a revelation about the power of Christmas, the power of the presence of Jesus. And he says, you know, maybe Christmas can't be bought in a store. Maybe Christmas means a little bit more. And I'm here to tell you today, Christmas means a whole lot more. It was a day when love came down, love won, and a gift was given to us in a Savior. No matter how grave your sin, no matter how deep the stain, God is saying today, salvation is a gift. All you have to do is receive it. So I'd love it if you'd bow your head and close your eyes for a second. I'm going to ask you today. There are those of you here today and you haven't received Jesus, the gift. The Bible tells us, for unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given. Jesus came for you. He loves you. He came personally. He said, take me, I will pay for their sins. And he came and he said, I want to give you a gift, because I can't bear a future without you in it. I'm going to give you eternal life, salvation, and forgiveness for your sins. If you're here today and you need to receive the gift of Jesus Christ and be restored in relationship with him, because he doesn't want someone who just does good. He wants someone in relationship with him, because someone who is in relationship with him will ultimately do good. That's the great thing. Sometimes we put the cart before the horse and we say, well, maybe if I could just be good enough. And it's impossible. You can't be. You can't be. Well, then I'll clean myself up and then I'll come to church. No, that's not how this works. You come to church and over time, God cleans you up. It's beautiful. Church is a place where sinners come to find forgiveness, not where the forgiven necessarily come to be polished up and shined up. It's where people come to receive the forgiveness of God, the salvation of God, and everlasting life. If that's you today, I want you to lift your hand up and I want to pray for you. If you're like, I need to receive the gift of Jesus Christ today. He's a gift for me. I know there are some hearts here today and you need to respond. I want to just take a minute just to let the Holy Spirit speak to you. There's some people here today and you've been in church for a long time, or maybe you grew up in church and at some point you took your life back and you wandered away and you found yourself in God's house again, and you can feel him knocking on the door of your heart. You can feel your heart beating. It's God saying, let me in. Let me in. Receive the gift of Jesus today, friends. If that's you, lift your hand up nice and high. I believe there's a couple of people. Yes, I see that hand. Praise God. I'm so proud of you. There's a couple more people. And I've left time because I don't want to rush this. This is the most important thing that we can do today on Christmas Eve. Reconcile God's kids back to him. You know, he's been looking for you. I see. Beautiful. Is that a hand over there? Praise God. Wonderful. Praise God. That's two people already responded. And again, I feel like there's more. I just want to wait a minute because I know God's moving. God's moving. Don't be afraid to lift your hand. Don't be afraid to respond to Jesus. He's here. I have no regrets in giving my life to the Lord. None whatsoever. Greatest thing you can ever do is give control of your life back to your Creator. He knows you even better than you know yourself. There's a couple more people here today. I'm going to take a minute or two just to wait for you to raise your hand. One person today, you were thinking to yourself, you weren't going to come, you were going to come, you weren't going to come, you were going to come, and then you decided, nah, I'm going to go. I'm going to go and sit in church. And you had that conversation with yourself, but you found yourself here. And you're meant to be here because God drew you here, because God's been looking for you. The greatest rescue mission ever. God coming to earth, rescuing his kids. And he came personally. Anyone else here today? We've had two people raise their hand. Is there another one today? Is there one more today? Amen. All right. Well, listen, we're going to stand to our feet. There were two people that raised their hand. So praise God on Christmas Eve. What a gift. A gift for you. A gift for you, sir, up here. We're so proud of you. But we're going to pray a prayer together. I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And for my friends that raised their hands, some of my friends are going to come to you. They're going to pray for you. They're going to give you a book. They're going to get your details so we can properly help you outwork your journey with God. You have not joined a religion. You've joined a family. You have joined our family. So my friends are going to come find you. And listen, if for whatever reason you didn't feel like you had the courage to put up your hand, don't run away. Come chat to one of the leaders, the pastors up the front, my friend over here at the conclusion of the service, and most importantly, come back. We want you to come back. If you're searching, keep searching. The Bible says that those who seek Him will find Him if they search with all their heart. And some of you are on a journey. That's okay. Be on your journey with God. Just keep searching, keep seeking. You're going to find Him. Lift your hands to God. I want to pray for you all. Father, I thank you for the hands that were raised. Father, I thank you that your presence is here. Father, in this Christmas, we wouldn't be so consumed with presents that we forget about your presence today. Father, we don't forget to honor you for the gift of eternal life, the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness. God, that you so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, that whosoever should believe in you would not perish but have everlasting life. Father, I thank you that you took care of things personally because you so love us. That you said, take me instead because you so love us. And that you knew we couldn't earn salvation, so you gave it to us as a gift. Father, we receive the gift of your Son. Jesus, we give you all the honor and all the glory today. We declare Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. What a beautiful day. What a great season of celebration of that all that God has done, literally splitting time in half, BC, AD, because things are different now, and all those thousands of years ago, love won. Love won, my friends. Have an amazing Christmas, an incredible new year, and be back tonight and bring some friends because nobody knows how to party like C3 South Bay. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.